No, General Electric. Yes. He was one of the old gang at General Electric. Anyway, so we developed some loudspeakers using these open cones, a little larger open cone, because than these small ones, which we use for the home speakers. And we measured the response of these loudspeakers we had, and our competitor was the Western Electric Company, that's Bell Telephone, and they were using a horn. And our tests all showed we were made outdoors in order to get far enough away that our speaker had a better response than the Western Electric did. And we put them in theaters, and there were media complaints that the intelligibility was crummy. And the Western Electric intelligibility was good. That is, you couldn't understand voice. It's all right on music, but intelligibility was no good. And we were very puzzled by this because, so far as we were aware, high frequencies, which these loudspeakers showed, should have led to good intelligibility. And, well, we began to make some tests in New York City in one of the theaters there. We were, at that time, RCA was associated with RKO. Mm-hmm. And so we went to one of the RKO theaters. But the union situation was so troublesome. You had to have, in order to turn on a loudspeaker, you had to have an operator for the film operator and a screen operator and have three or four men just to make a test of a loudspeaker. We decided it was very difficult to operate in New York. And at the same time, shortly thereafter, we had a complaint from Rochester, Paramount Theater in Rochester, and Paramount was a very important customer. And so we thought we ought to investigate that, and at the same time it would get us away from this New York situation. So we went up to Rochester, and I and an associate, Lou Malta, who didn't end up with RCA, he finally ended up with Varian, went up to Rochester, and we stayed there all summer trying to find out what was wrong with these loudspeakers. And in due course, we found out it was due to the fact that although these loudspeakers had a very good vertical directional characteristic, they were not directional horizontally. So the sound bounced off walls and things spread out all over. We hadn't realized this was important in a theater. And had very bad acoustical effects. Although the loudspeaker was good, the acoustical effects were very bad. So we developed a kind of a horn to put on it. It wasn't a horn. This was a row of these cone loudspeakers, and we put a baffle on like this. And so that the sound, instead of being spreading out all over, would be directional. And that solved our problem, and that loudspeaker then was used for many years in theaters and gave very good response. But I recall a conversation, at that time, Dr. Goldsmith had changed his job from that of being in charge of this technical and test laboratory to being head of RCA Photophone, who had to do with the theater operations of loudspeakers and pickup and so forth. I don't know whether he was president of Photophone or just chief engineer. It doesn't make any difference. So I was in touch with him as to this loudspeaker situation because it was very important to have that solved, because we had all these complaints coming in as to the poor reproduction of the RCA loudspeakers. And I called them up when we got to talking together one night, and I said, I think we've solved the problem. We put a horizontal horn on the thing, and now that made it directional, and it's fine. And he said, oh my gosh, you can't have a horn on that loudspeaker, because we've been telling everyone that the loudspeaker was better than the Western Electric, because a horn speaker's no good for this kind of work. So I said, well, why don't you call it a directional baffle? So he said, that's fine, let's call it a directional baffle. So we put out these loudspeakers with directional baffles, and everyone was happy. Those are some of the things that happened in those early days.